It is good to be together. With everything going on, we haven't been together as EM and TM together for a little while, so it is good, especially today. As all of you know, we're here to celebrate Christmas, and for those of us who are believers, we know that it's tied into something more than just what other people think. I was thinking back to past Christmases, and Christmas was always kind of this holiday that I particularly loved. As a kid, I remember being excited about it. And you put presents and gifts to any holiday, and it's always a lot of fun for kids, right? You could be Memorial Day, and if there's gifts involved, then they would love it. So Christmas was always one that I loved. But I also remember, Christmas was different because there was this peace and this calm and this serenity that came with it. It seemed like whenever Christmas would come around, things would slow down. It seemed like the busyness would slow down, and things would become quiet. And I think for a lot of us, that's what we remember. Even when you look at the nativity sets, for instance, you see this child, this baby that's born surrounded by family, by his parents. You see the wise men, you see the shepherds, you see the animals surrounding him, and it looks peaceful. And ultimately, Christmas is about finding peace, but not the kind of peace that I think we tend to think about, not just things being quiet and calm. Now, ultimately, Christmas is about peace, but it's ultimately about peace with God. And that's very, very unique, very special. When you really look into what Christmas is about, when you realize that it's about God coming into this world, you begin to see that Christmas is actually meant to surprise us. It's actually meant to challenge us. It's actually meant to disturb us, right? That God himself would come down into his world. That God would become like us. But we find out that he does that to rescue us. And that's one of the core beliefs of Christianity. One of the core beliefs is that God has come to be like us. One of the core beliefs is that Jesus was both God and man. And as impossible as that seems, we see that affirmed all throughout the New Testament by all the apostles, by all the writers. If you go into the Gospels, for instance, you see in Gospel of Matthew and Gospel of Luke, you see Mary being spoken to by God, and then she's carrying a child, and this child is from the Holy Spirit. We see the Apostle Paul talk about how Jesus Christ has deity that dwells within him. And in the passage we read, we see how John says that this Jesus is the Word who became flesh, this Word who was with God from the beginning. In EM, we've been talking about Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus' humanity and why it's so important that Jesus was really a person, that he was really like us. Tonight, I wanted to share some meditations on why it's important that Jesus was God, because Jesus was fully man and fully God. And so today, as we look into John chapter 1, we're going to see why it matters that Jesus was God, that he was fully God also. And so we're going to see three things, and we'll do this quickly, just kind of a meditation through this passage. But we're going to see that the deity of Jesus being God, means three things. It means first, something has changed. Second, it means something can change. And third, it means that something must change. So first, something has changed. If you open your Bible, go to John chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 again. And the Apostle John says this. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now, I want you to notice something. When you read through John chapter 1, the very beginning of it, it sounds like another part of the Bible, doesn't it? It actually sounds like Genesis 1, right? In the beginning, and then there's this talk about darkness and light. And that's not an accident. What's happening here is is John is telling us something. He's saying that the thing that he's about to talk about, the thing that he's about to write about, is something that is so big, it's so important, it's so cataclysmic that it changes everything about the world. That essentially what John is saying is that the Word becoming flesh is so significant that it's as if God is recreating the world. And you know, that's what the incarnation is. God coming into the world has changed everything. It has changed everything. If Jesus is just a man, if he's just a person, if he's just a human being, if there's nothing else to him, then it's no big deal that he came. It's a baby in a manger. And as historically significant as he might be, if he's just a man, there's nothing else. But if Jesus is God, if he's divine, then something significant has happened and things will never be the same. And that's what the Bible tells us. That's what John is telling us, is that something has changed. So nothing like this has ever happened since the beginning of the world. God is recreating. And you know, we see that all throughout the Old Testament. We see that when you look into the New Testament, that things are changed. For instance, in the Old Testament, you know, there's a covenant of works and there's the law. In the New Testament, what does Jesus say? He tells his disciples, he says that there's a new covenant in his blood, right? Something has changed. You know, in the Old Testament, we have a temple. We have priests. We have the Holy of Holies. If you remember, they would go inside the Holy of Holies, and there God was. And in the New Testament, there's no more temple. Jesus has become the high priest, and he is our picture, our image of God. He is the one who mediates for us. And there is no need for a temple because now he's come to live in our hearts, that we are the temple. You know, in the Old Testament, it was about the nation. It was about the king. And you see David, the model of the king to come. In the New Testament, we find out that Christ is the true and everlasting king, and that he has brought his kingdom, and that his kingdom will reign and rule over all things. You know, in the Old Testament, we have the sacrificial system. And in the New Testament, there's no more need to kill animals, to shed blood, because Jesus has become the once-for-all sacrifice for sins. And you see, all of that has happened because Jesus is more than just a man, because Jesus is God himself, God come in the flesh. And because he has come, everything has changed. So that's the first thing that happens because Jesus is fully God. Second thing is that not only has something changed, but because Jesus is also God, something can change. If you go into verses 9 through 13, John says this. He says, "The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Now, if you notice, in this part of the passage, verse 10 reminds us that there's this universal problem. And the universal problem is that every single one of us has a sin problem. And the sin problem is more than just the fact that we sin. It's that in our sin, we have rejected God. We have despised him. We have rejected him. And we have made ourselves our own king, our own ruler. And it's because of that that we feel distance from God. We feel that God is far away, and we feel like there's nothing that we can do to fix that. And you know, if Jesus is just a man, if Jesus is just human, then he has the exact same problem that we do. He has the exact same problem. If Jesus is just a man, then no matter how good he is, no matter how spiritual he is, he cannot offer us forgiveness and love and peace. But what if he's God, right? If Jesus is God, then Jesus cannot just, he can do more than just speak for God. He can do what God can do. And so what he does is when he comes, he speaks for God, but then he offers forgiveness. He offers love. He offers peace. He extends grace to us. You know, one of the most amazing things that happens in Scripture is in Mark 2, if you remember, Jesus is inside this home. And the writer of Mark doesn't tell us what Jesus is teaching, what he's doing. He tells us what's happening outside of the house. You remember, in Mark chapter 2, there was a man who was paralyzed. And his friends were so desperate to help their friend who was paralyzed, they climbed onto the roof, they dug through the ceiling, and they lowered their friend in. And the amazing thing about that is, when Jesus saw this paralytic being lowered to him, if you remember, what did he say to him? He said, "Your sins are forgiven." If Jesus is just a man, then all of that is deception. All of it is lies. And all of it is a trick. But if Jesus is God, if Jesus is divine, then our sins can be forgiven. Now, if Jesus is really God, then we can really be reconnected to the Father. And essentially, that's what the incarnation is about. The incarnation means that something can change. You and I can change. That we're not stuck in our sin. That we're not stuck in our failure. That we're not stuck in our rebellion. The incarnation, God coming down to earth, means that you and I can change. That we can accept Jesus Christ and that everything can be different in our lives. Now, God coming and becoming like us was so that we would no longer be lost, no longer condemned. And in coming, he wants to offer us grace and love. Now, Jesus has come to take the punishment and the wrath that we deserve, and through it to extend to us the forgiveness and the love of the Father. And if you believe that, then you too can be changed. The third thing that the deity means is that not only has something changed, not only can something change, it also means something must change. Go into verse 14, and this is what John says. He says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side has made him known. And this is the testimony of John.'" You know, what we see here is that John is trying to bring his readers to a decision. And basically it means this: if Jesus is God, then there is no halfway. There is no middle way. In other words, if Jesus is just a man, if there's no deity, if he's just a human being, if he's just a person, then you can do whatever you want with your lives. You know, you can read about Jesus and you can admire him, or you can ignore him. If Jesus is just a man, you can see all the things that he did. You can believe them. You cannot believe them. If Jesus is just a man, you can hear the things that he said. You can quote him. You can take the things that you like. You can push away the things that you don't like. If Jesus is just a man, you can pick and choose. You can edit. You can do whatever you want. You can put him up there with Gandhi, with Mother Teresa, along with all the other people that you admire, but you don't have to follow him. If Jesus is just a man, then you don't need to make him your Lord. You don't need to make him your Savior. You don't need to make him your King. You can just admire him. You can just respect him. You can learn from him. But if Jesus is God, there is no halfway. If Jesus is God, then you have a decision to make. I have a decision to make. Every single one of us has a decision to make. If Jesus is God, then either all his words are true or they're not. If Jesus is God, then we either have to make him Lord and Savior of our lives, or we have to reject him. There is no middle way. Anything else is worthless. It's all or nothing. And you know, if you're here today, and if you're here today and you're really not sure who Jesus is or what he means to you, you're not sure what to think about him, what you might tend to believe, you need to make a decision. And I'm not saying right here, right now, but if Jesus is God, you have to make a decision. There is no middle way. There's no picking and choosing. There's no deciding the things you like, the things you don't like. There's no halfway. You either accept or reject him. You either take all of him or you take none of him. You either take all his words or none of his words. You cannot just admire him. All or nothing. And you know, if you're here today and you have professed your faith in Jesus Christ, there's no halfway for us either. If Jesus is God, there is no halfway for us either. If Jesus is God, and if he is your Lord, then you must either work to conform every part of your life to him or reject him, because there is no halfway. If this is God, then there's no middle way. Everything belongs to him, or we hold everything away from him. And as believers, to do something in the middle is to lie to ourselves. But you see, the incarnation challenges us. It challenges us that there's no middle way. That we either believe him and love him and serve him with our lives, or you reject him and we push him aside. If Jesus is just a man, it doesn't matter. But if Jesus is God, then everything matters. And you know, that's kind of what it comes down to, is if this baby is God, then Christmas is not quite as peaceful. It's not quite as serene. You know, if this baby is God, then he challenges us. He confronts us. But if this baby is God, then he has come to rescue us from our sins, to save us, and to redeem us. And if you believe that, then there's a different kind of peace, a different kind of hope. One that comes not just because there's pretty pictures and snow falling, but a peace and a hope that comes from knowing that Jesus has paid your price and that he has rescued you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that, Lord, that you have come to take our sin, to take our punishment, to take our wrath. And we thank you, Lord, that the part of the story that we understand begins with a little baby, one who is unassuming, but one who is God wrapped in flesh. And Lord, I pray that in him we see that there is no middle way. But I pray we also see that in him there is true peace, there is true hope, and there is true joy. Well, thank you for reminding us of that. And Lord, as we continue to celebrate Christmas, let show us the true peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray this in his name. Amen.